Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about the Illuminati and how what their plans are, what they're doing, and why they're doing it. And it's really he's talking about a DVD that he made called Die America Die, and that really outlines it all. But he's talking to us tonight on why they're doing what they're doing, what their ultimate plans are. We kind of ended up last week with we were talking about the rise of China. As China is rising, this country is falling. There's the rise of the middle class in China. They have new cities that have gone up. They have bustling cities. They have tons of jobs. People are making good money. They're able to buy things. Whereas in this country, we have just the opposite happening. We have crumbling cities. We have masses of people out of work. We have increasing number of people on welfare, record number of people on food stamps, and high prices. Just try to fill up your car. China pays $2 a gallon for their gas or less.
Yeah. No, actually, they pay...
Oh, $2 a barrel. $2 a barrel.
They must be paying like 50 cents a gallon.
Very low prices.
Yeah,
and you might like to know that they're getting their...
oil from us.
Well, from Iraq.
From Iraq. But we're also exporting
oil. We built that pipeline that enabled them to get it on our money, and plus we're exporting oil to them. We have our highest export in this country is oil.
Yeah.
And so Obama gets on TV and says to us, the reason we can't have cheap oil here and we're awash in oil is because of the world markets. Now you tell me why China can sell their oil from us, from Iraq, at such a low price.
And Tex mentioned last night, in the last show, that we're actually lending, the Fed is actually lending China, sending China money at 0% interest,
mm-hmm.
and they're lending it back to us at 3% interest.
Right. Isn't that a great plan?
The last I knew, the Fed was our boys. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
I mean, why aren't we getting the money at 0% and lending it back at, lending it out to the rest of the world at 3%, making a profit?
And this is available for everybody else.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, people in this country have lost their houses, lost their jobs, lost everything. Masses of people are homeless. And the beat goes on. And the money goes flying out of the doors of this country along with everything else.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just madness. The whole thing is madness. And you can understand when we talk to Tex, you understand what the plan has been all along for the last many hundred years, to destroy America, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and why? It's because America has had the higher standard of living over the last, several... year, 100 years, perhaps, or so,
No, not necessarily. Europe has lived very well. Continue.
Not until the last 100 years or so. Europe has always been
We rebuilt Europe after World War II.
We did. It was after World War II.
And they have all the best technology there.
They do. What we're running on for as far as our
pre-World War II stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's bullshit.
Crumbling cities, crumbling technology.
Infrastructure is terrible. And what's happening is all our money is going overseas. I mean, we're spending billions upon billions of dollars to foreign aid every year. All right, we got billions of dollars being spent in the arms race and in the arms defending these other countries. That
on
we
these wars
all.
That
yeah,
who even knows
no
why we're fighting
freaking
them.
Reason to be in Afghanistan or Iraq or any other place in the, on the god-awful world, all right? I mean, we've got, you know, nearly 500,000 troops out, you know, in foreign countries, all right? You know, we're paying to support these economies when our economy is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole thing is just one big ripe, you know, corruption. You know, it's totally bogus. And for us to be sitting here, you know, as American citizens, and to be looking at this kind of atrocities happening everywhere, all right, it's just sick.
Well, and the biggest thing the news media can carry is why somebody should not be able to use contraceptives.
Yeah, like you know, women can't get breast mammograms or some absolute asinine.
I disagree with that. That's an important thing, in the scheme of things,
it.
Then they're not talking about what's happening really in this country. There's lots of diversion. The biggest diversion right now is who's going to get the Republican nomination.
Oh yeah.
When you know that it doesn't really make any difference who gets the nomination because the foreign policy will be exactly the same as it's always been, and just like it was with Bush and Clinton
and
Obama.
And the policy, if you get Romney, it'll be exactly the same way. The only difference, the only possible difference in the entire universe, all right, at this point, would be having a Ron Paul as a president of the United States. Now, what that would mean, we have no clue, you know. But having Obama as a president was an abomination to mankind, okay? Having, you know, Bush as a president was like the absolute nightmare of hell on earth, okay? And we lived through that. All right, so, you know.
And Clinton, he wasn't any better.
Clinton was a nightmare to begin with. You know, he was an asshole, a traitor, and a piece of crap.
He also accepted tons of money from China, if you remember.
Yeah,
the
guy is a traitor.
Scandal.
He's a traitor. He should be tried for treason. He should be in prison. He should be hung by his testicles on top of the Capitol building, just like Bush and just like Obama. I mean, these guys are criminal. I mean, there's no question about it, okay? But yet, what do? We invite them in and say, yeah, Mr. Man, all right? And Romney, Mr. Mormon, Mr. You know, what the friggin' is that, okay? I mean, you
know. Mormon religion has nothing to do with really anything. The problem with him is that he was involved with that Bain Capital.
Yeah.
And that's a problem company. It's a company that...
I mean, not only that, but Bain Capital owns Infinity Broadcasting, which is Clear Channel, which is, you know, which puts out Rush Limbaugh and Savage and Hannity and every other god-awful crazy man.
Hate radio person.
In the world. Okay, and this is the guy, okay, he's making $20 million a year, retired.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, you know, his wife says, oh, I don't feel like I'm any different than any poor person. Yeah, you know, yeah.
I'd like to feel like that.
Freaking prostitute. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, give me a break.
What did you say?
I call her a prostitute.
Well, that's ridiculous, Leo. That's just name calling.
She's a trophy wife.
That's just name calling. Well, then call her that.
Care.
I do care, and I don't like how you talk.
You know, anybody who says that was making $20 million a year, all right, is sitting around and saying, yeah, I don't feel like I'm rich at all. I don't know what rich means. I don't know.
She's a hypocrite,
She's a whack.
They're hypocrites that's what they are.
So, I mean, what
and
are
actors
doing?
On the world stage, that's all.
So
there's no validity to what they're saying. There's no truth to what they're saying.
No.
But anyway, and this is what Tex is going to talk to us about.
Well,
and he's
going to
gone over the
extreme of what he'll say, but at the same time, you know, he's right on the money. You know, Tex has been right on about a lot, about everything.
he's
and,
going to
why
really
are we selling out to China.
That's what he's going to, hopefully that's what he's going to tell us. Why are we selling out to China? Why are we allowing them to take our money interest free and then lend it back to us at 3%?
Yeah, what's this?
Whose idea is that?
I mean Bernanke.
My feeling is that we should just get rid of the Fed. That would be the end of it, and there'd be no debt.
The only way to do that is to get a guy like Ron Paul in the office and put bills through, to get rid of the Fed, we're hoping and praying that that might happen, but
we're not counting on it.
No, we're not counting.
We haven't had an honest election.
We haven't had an honest election.
Even Jimmy Carter refused to be an election watcher.
That's right. He said in the United States is absolutely absurd. Yeah,
he wouldn't
no
be an
there's
election
no
watcher. Yeah. He goes overseas to oversee elections, but he wouldn't do it here.
We haven't heard anything from Jimmy Carter for a long time because he came out with that book on apartheid. And, he knocked the Israeli, issue. And, it's like, so he became a person non grata, which is like, crap. So,
well, he became a person non grata with the media.
Yeah.
And
which is,
so,
which
and
is everything.
Which puts a muffle on somebody like him.
Which is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
Well, Pat Buchanan did as well.
Yeah, Pat got kicked off.
Pitchfork Pat.
Napolitano.
As Bill
got
used to
off.
Call him, Napolitano
got kicked
off.
Off.
Anybody who says anything real gets thrown off the mainstream media.
Right off.
You have to have the group speak. You have to belong to the club. You're not allowed to say anything. They give you a script. And you bet don't do your homework. That would be the
you know how you're
told in school to do your homework, prepare
for
things.
Be like a
those
Brian,
guys,
yeah,
those guys
Brian
are
Williams
those guys are probably
moron.
Told don't read anything, don't do your homework, don't study anything, just read the teleprompter.
Yeah, like Diane Sawyer who tells you, it's like
if they researched anything, they couldn't sit
God
there.
God forbid, they wouldn't even know what they were talking about anyway. So it's like, they got to read. So we're going to call Tex now.
And see what he has to say here.
Hopefully.
So we'll pick up where we left off.
Yeah. And hopefully that's speak.
Hello.
Hello. This is Lila and Leo from the LA Steel Show. Is Tex there?
Yes. Did you have Tex scheduled for tonight?
Yes,
sure
we sure did for a part
okay.
three.
Okay. Just a moment, please.
Thank you.
Lila and Leo, they say they have you scheduled for tonight.
Oh, they do? Well, I'll be up with them then.
Right now.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he'll get to the phone right now.
Oh,
we didn't realize there was a program tonight, but we'll be glad to. He's on his way to the phone.
Yeah.
He's on the way to the phone right now. Just a moment, please.
Thank you very much.
Where are you going to take it?
In the back.
Okay.
Don't take the back way.
No, that's fine. Okay, that's closer. Do you need anything?
I need that phone.
He'll be on in just a few minutes. He has to get himself situated and comfortable so he can talk to us. And that's always important. What's great about technology today is you can be at home and you can have a nice, comfortable interview. You don't have to go into a studio or anything like that. You can just do it from the comfort of your own home, which is really nice.
Yeah. Lila and Leo, hello.
Hi, how are you? Good evening.
I'm doing great.
We were on tonight. I thought we had said that. I would have called you.
Well, listen, I think that makes, I guess I'd let it, as important as you guys are, I certainly, I should have put it on my schedule, but I guess I didn't. And but listen, I'm so glad that this is a wonderful opportunity.
Well, I was just telling the folks who are listening that we're on part three, and we kind of ended up with our last conversation with the rise of China. And
oh, yes.
We had led to that. And one of the last things that you had shared with us is that China could borrow money from us at 0% interest, and then, of course, buy stuff for us.
And lend it to us at
3%.
3%.
Yeah. And no wonder they're rising. And you were going to, you were leading us to why all this is happening, what the reasoning is behind it, why are they doing it to us? And that's what you were going to talk about this evening.
Well, I'm glad to talk about that. It's such an important topic. And yes, I'm so glad we're on again. This has been a great series, especially because I know how really popular Leo and you are and your talk show, and I've always enjoyed being on it. And by the way, I recommend your website to folks as well. And Leo, your book, which is a compilation of, boy, you've had the most important people in the world on your radio program, and I'm just sort of a little fish in the pond, but I'm glad to be on. And talking really about the future of America, and really we have a great country here. We have a great potential, and yet that potential is being destroyed by people who do not love America, who are internationalists, who do not think of themselves as citizens of the United States, but of a new world order. And they really despise, they think the Constitution, the Bill of Rights and such are just uncouth. And I believe they divide the world, and I prove this, of course, in my books, such as Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star,
yeah.
Conspiracy World, Codex Magica, and particularly my new video, Die America, Die, that they put us in a category really of serfs. You know, we're like the old serfs, and they're the czar. And they have decided in this new world order that they need a role model, a model nation, which to pattern the entire globe on. All of the nations of the world will be patterned after this nation. That nation, believe it or not, is Red China. And there's a specific reason why America is being beaten down. Our incredible treasure of natural resources is being taken from us on a very systematic basis. And this has been going on now for at least 40 years. The American people have not known what was going on. And the propaganda has been so heavy that we almost, it's sort of like a battered wife. We're the battered wife. And after a while, you know, when a wife has been battered and her an evil psychopath husband keeps telling her that she's a no good and she deserves everything she gets, then she thinks this is what she deserves. She deserves to have everything taken away. She deserves to be, kept at home and beaten and starved. And this is what is happening to America. When Red China particularly is becoming this great colossus. Now, I quote George Soros, the Hungarian billionaire, and really one of the Rothschild Rockefeller cronies, as saying that China will be the leader of the New World Order, this is a direct quote, and American citizens better not resist. Now, when you think of America, all of the money that we've got, our Federal Reserve has created literally trillions of dollars and given it to foreign corporations, foreign banks. But the greatest beneficiary of all has been China. China also has been given America's most precious military secrets. This began in the days of the Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, who stole over 10,000 documents from the Pentagon, gave them to the Israeli Mossad, and they were then sold to China. But China was made a colossus. Now, think about this. China owns port facilities in Seattle, Washington, and Long Beach, California. They've also basically bought up the Panama Canal, and they own all of the warehouse facilities in the Panama Canal. China will be the recipient of the North American Corridor highway that is being built from Mexico all the way up to Canada. And if people believe there's no North American corridor, a highway, you know, being built, I recommend they come and visit Tex-Mores in Austin, Texas. We will drive down 40 miles to Seguin, Texas, and I will show you a 16-lane highway that is being built right now. 16 lanes.
Wow.
And they have bought up all this land, building this, they got Rick Perry to do a lot of shenanigans in the Texas legislature, and when the Texas people rose up in mass to try to fight this huge North American corridor highway, they decided to use the media against the people. And they literally, the internationalists, went in and bought up over 600 newspapers, including these, you know, these little weekly newspapers that little towns have, the little farmers and ranchers and all that. They bought these up. Imagine 600 newspapers, and this was even in the San Antonio Express News talking about all of the press that's been bought up. And they used European banks to do it, and a European corporation from Spain called Cintra, as well as the Santander Bank. And then they began to have all these European banks that were really run by Red China and our Fed Reserve to come into Texas and to buy up all of this land. They've also bought up 400,000 acres, I think it is, in the state of Idaho. China is also buying up most of the oil lands in South Texas, and they're big players up in the Dakotas right now buying up oil lands. So China is buying up America en masse. How can China do this? Remember, Leo and Lila,
yeah,
Soviet Union fell because it was incompetent and corrupt. The communist system was totally, you know, irrelevant to modern times.
Yep.
So how can China become so rich when you have dictatorial, tyrannical, Communist Party chieftains at the helm? Are they geniuses? I mean, are they like Harvard business graduate maestros? No, they're not. They're idiots. They're all a bunch of communist idiots who do not know how to run any business, no more than Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel know how to run businesses.
Yeah.
But right now everybody is saying, look at Red China. We need to follow their model.
Yeah.
We need to change our system of government. You know, they have been able to combine, and this is the key, communism and capitalism.
Yep.
And together, communism and capitalism is alive in China and has taken over the world. So this is what they call the Hegelian dialectic in operation.
Hey, Tex. Tex, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
I was at a lecture about 3 years ago, and the guy who was giving the lecture was the head of Goldman Sachs, former chairman of Goldman Sachs, chairman of Intel. All right, and he was giving a lecture at a prep school up in this area that close to us. And he was saying that China is our friend. All right, and he was trying to promote. Now there was about 300 or 400 people in the audience, and he was saying that China, trying to promote China as a friend, and he said that China would become the first industrial nation in the world, and the United States will become the second. And he was promoting this. Now, Tex, honest to God, between you and I, it took everything I could not to throw something at this guy. Okay?
Right.
I have to ask you, if you were sitting in this audience, what would you have done in listening to this guy? It was everything I could do, okay, not to stand up and shout traitor, everything. All I could do is walk out, okay, walk out of it, you know, and people knew I walked out. But the what would you have done in a case like that if you had listened to this horrible nightmare of a scenario from one of the major players in this in the U.S. economy? What would you have done, Tex?
Well, you couldn't do anything there because the people listening to it are excited about the money possibilities, and they actually believe what they're told, that China it has become a colossus because of its great, capacity for business, that they have been bent. So I think when somebody from Goldman Sachs or Intel tell people this, we really think the Chinese must be, brilliant. Yeah. I mean, they're beating America in business. Remember, the battered wife syndrome. We're inferior. We deserve to be number two. China must be doing something right. Well, I would like to tell your audience exactly what China is doing, and it has nothing to do with their business acumen or prowess. It has to do with theft. Just like a bank robber, if you see a guy, your next-door neighbor, and he has a new Mercedes today, and his wife has a fur coat next week, and he puts in a new swimming pool, and then you find that he's a member of the fanciest country club in town that, you have to pay $100,000 a year membership. You say, wow, he must really be doing great. I understand, he's like a business consultant. He is probably a real genius. But then you find out he's just a dope dealer who's working with the drug cartels and is a psychopathic killer besides. You see, this is what we have. We have China that looks totally glorious and wonderful. But we have to find out how they get their money. Once you discover how China has got its money, then you realize they are a paper mache character that has been created out of thin air, just as the Fed Reserve creates money out of thin air electronically and gives it to whoever is their favorite bank or whoever is their favorite Illuminati character. So Red China, as incompetent a society and with really a system of government and business and so forth that cannot succeed, where you still have the commissars to tell you what to produce, it is really not a capitalist society except to the extent that it's a corrupt, crooked capitalist society. Now, I want people to understand this is not an accident how Red China has moved to the top of the line. It's because of companies like Goldman Sachs, that is one of the most corrupt, maybe the most dangerous and evil corporations in the world, and then there's Bain & Company, the Mitt Romney company.
Yeah.
And they're all working with the Rothschild faction in Europe and Israel. So we have really three major components that America is facing that is our enemy now. It is our dreaded enemy that is set to destroy America, and these people are parasites and a danger to our constitutional rights and liberty. First, they're the Zionists. Second, they're the communists. And third, they're the capitalists. Now, it seems that when you say communists and capitalists and Zionists are all working together to destroy America, it doesn't even seem possible.
I know.
Because after all, isn't communism the opposite of capitalism? And isn't Zionism, doesn't that have something to do with Israel and the Jews and setting up of a greater Israel and everything? And what does that have to do with anything? You have to understand world history and realize how China got to where it is. Mao Zedong was a stupid peasant who was a nobody.
Yeah, that's true.
But Yale's Skull and Bone Society, working with Masonic Lodge groups and with the Zionist Jews, built up, went into Red China and built up Mao Zedong, and Harry Truman, who was run by Morgenthau as his Secretary of the Treasury, and also Bernard Baruch, the Manhattan financier, they decided to build up Red China as well. Of course, when people like General Douglas MacArthur fought this, they fired him. Secretary of Defense James Forrestal was against it. He was murdered. He was thrown out of the, I think it was the 16th floor.
Yep.
Now, Tex, there was something in, I think it was your you had mentioned this, that that Harry Truman got paid $2 million to acknowledge to acknowledge Israel. Is that?
Oh, absolutely. This is, you know, it's interesting, but we're, I got this sort of in a roundabout way. Gore Vidal.
Yep.
In one of his books, said that John Kennedy had confided to him, John F. Kennedy,
yep,
that Harry Truman received $2 million in bribes from a Jewish Zionist in the United States in order to, make Israel a nation. Without America, we were the superpower after World War II. So they told Truman that he could not become president without their financial help, the Jews, and they would make him president again if he agreed to recognize Israel as a nation state. And against his almost entire cabinet, several of whom resigned in protest, he did exactly that.
Wow.
And they stole the land then from the Palestinians. Now, you have to understand that the Jews that went to Israel, and we have all this romantic notion from movies like Exodus that are absolutely untrue. All of them were Eastern Europe and Russian communists.
Right.
The first, David Ben-Gurion, that wasn't even his real name, was a Polish Jew who was a terrorist and had murdered many people. He was made the first prime minister of Israel. He was a very hardcore Marxist-Leninist. In fact, they were so communist-oriented, the Israelis, that went down to Palestine and began to kill the Palestinians and drive them from their villages. Leo and Lila, they were so pro-communist that in Tel Aviv, the building where the Israelis first met together and plotted out their war against the Palestinians and how they were going to proceed on this, it was literally called the Red House. In other words, it was full of communist Reds.
Wow.
They got most of their guns and such from Soviet Russia. But you'll have to remember something that we now know in history, that the Lenin Museum in Moscow now admits that Lenin and Trotsky, the number one and two in 1917, who, you know, grabbed the scalp, as Winston Churchill said, and murdered the Tsar and his family and took over power in communist Russia, that they were indeed Zionist Jews, the whole of them. 19 of the first 22, 19 of the 22 Politburo members were Jews. Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who is known as the greatest historian, he was called the conscience of the 20th century, who wrote Gulag Archipelago. He was thrown, 10 or 12 years he spent as a prisoner in a Soviet communist gulag.
Yep.
And in his last book, his final book, which was called 200 Years Together, it's the historic history of the Jews in Russia, he said that it was the Jews that ran the Soviet gulags. It was the Jews that ran the government, and they murdered 66 million people.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if we talk about Hitler killing, 6 million, what are we to make of 66 million? Solzhenitsyn said that's how many were massacred, purged, killed by Lenin, Trotsky, and all the other murders. He also said that 80% of the commandants of the Soviet Gulag concentration camps were Jews, and many of them were Jewish rabbis.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Absolutely, were Jewish rabbis. I'm telling you the absolute truth about this. These are facts. Everybody knew it at the time, but the media in America has been bought and paid for by Zionists, and they will not tell you anything. If you can name one major newspaper that is not owned by Zionist Jews, let me know, whether it's the L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, the Washington Post, the New York Times. So this is we have no freedom of the press in America. And I might say it's so amazing to me, you know, I'm very much against Muslims and Islam in terms of the religion. But even Louis Farrakhan knows a lot of this, and it's amazing that he would go to University of California at Berkeley and hold up a book written by a PhD that actually tells the truth about the slave trade that was run, yes, indeed, by Jews in America, as well as, you know, in Britain and France when slavery was legal there. So all of these things are things that have to be hidden from view. I'll give your audience something right now that will be so shocking to them, they will not believe it. But listen to this. Did you know that the South, when it broke away from the North, and we had the war between the states, the power in the South was a man named Benjamin Judah. He told Jefferson Davis and the Southern leaders exactly what to do. Read the story of Benjamin Judah. He was a slave owner. He was a millionaire Jew. They made him the Attorney General of the Confederacy, and then finally he became the Secretary of the Treasury. And he visited, even during the war between the states, several times in Great Britain, visited Rothschild and something, and the others there, because they were all funding the South during the war. And they wanted to split the United States. And I'm sure Lincoln well knew that, and knew they were trying to break up the United States, and the Rothschilds would own the bank. All this came out of the Andrew Jackson era. You remember Andrew Jackson made one promise as president.
Yep.
I will kill the bank.
Yep, or break up the bank. That's right.
I'll break up the National Bank, which was really the equivalent of the Fed Reserve today. And as soon as he became president, he did exactly that.
Yeah.
And that was in 1832, I think it was, or 1834. And that led, of course, 20-something years later to the Civil War, because Rothschild was determined to get his national bank back, Federal Reserve, running again in America.
But, Tex, let me ask you one question about the Vatican and the Jesuits. Now, Lincoln was supposedly assassinated by the Jesuits. I know that what's his name, Booth, was part of it, but he was the assassin. However, the Jesuits played a major role in the problems that we had. The Catholics, if you will. Has your research proven that or not?
Oh, absolutely. The Jesuits worked very close with Rothschild.
Yeah, all the early fathers, foundation, Jefferson, Washington, on up, were terrified of the Jesuits. Can you kind of give us a thread on that, please?
Well, the Jesuits had great power in America, and of course they funded universities such as Fordham, Georgetown University, right outside of Washington D.C. The land that Washington D.C. sits on right now, all of that land was owned by a man named Carroll, who was the first cardinal of the United States and was a Jesuit.
Really?
That's right. So Washington and the others bought the land from Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L. And you may remember at Georgetown University when Bill Clinton, it's interesting that Bill Clinton was chosen by the elite to go to Georgetown University, because we're told that Bill Clinton was a good Southern Baptist boy, right?
Right.
Sung in the choir and all that. That's pure propaganda, of course. The fact is that he only applied for one university out of high school, and that was Georgetown University. At Georgetown University, Bill Clinton was mentored by a Catholic Jesuit priest and a second man, Professor Carroll Quigley. Professor Carroll Quigley was actually named after the man Carroll, who was the first Catholic cardinal in the United States, and on the land that Washington, D.C. was built on. So Carroll Quigley was the professor of government at Georgetown University when Bill Clinton went there. And in his inaugural address, and people can look this up if they don't believe me, Bill Clinton thanked his mentor, Carroll Quigley, for making him who he was.
I remember that. I remember that well. And to this day, he's talked about Quigley. Yeah.
Quigley wrote a book, and I'm sorry the name of the book escapes me. I have a copy of it in my library. The word hope is one of the words in the title. Maybe somebody can help me out. But it's a big book, and he talks about there is, in fact, a conspiracy of the elite from Britain, the United States, and other places that control the world. So he knew this, Professor Carroll Quigley, and I'm sure he taught it to Bill Clinton. The real question for Bill Clinton was whether he would go into politics or become a Jesuit priest. And Bill Clinton himself gave a speech later on in which he said that he was invited to become a Jesuit priest.
I believe it. I can honestly believe it of him, actually. Yes, I can.
And, of course, all of the, we have to understand, as back in the days of Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth was a Freemason. His brother, by the way, both of them were two of the most famous actors in America at the time. They'd sort of be equivalent to, Tom Hanks and, some other famous actor in America.
Have you ever read the Jesuit Oath? I published it on my website. It was the most frightening thing I've ever read in my life. Have you ever read the Jesuit Oath?
I have, Leo, and it really is an oath to do all kind of horrible things.
Horrible.
If called upon,
Horrible, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I've referred that. I've said that to so many people who were just absolutely flabbergasted that the Jesuits could actually believe this. I mean, they swore oaths to Satan, for crying out loud,
Well, John Wilkes Booth and the let's call them the gang that assassinated Lincoln. One of them, at least one of the major conspirators fled through Canada to the Vatican and was shielded in the Vatican for some years.
Really?
Absolutely. And so I discussed that in my book, Codex Magica, and have a picture of the Catholic cardinal who was the guy, leading them. There's a Museum of the Confederacy. I think it still exists. And in which there is a letter, in fact, two letters, back and forth between President Jefferson Davis of the Confederacy in Richmond, Virginia, and the Pope of Rome. So the Catholic Church, the slave masters at the time, most of the plantations, people don't know this, but the boys from down south fought in the war. And remember, this was a brutal war with, 600,000 or 700,000 people dying.
Yep.
A horrible war. But almost none of the Southern soldiers owned slaves. Almost none of them. The slave owners were generally either Roman Catholics or were Jews. And as I said, the Secretary of the Treasury of the South was Judah Benjamin. He also had earlier been the Attorney General, and they said he was like a twin, almost like a twin brother of Jefferson Davis. They were inseparable. They were everywhere together, and that's because Judah Benjamin was the money man for the South. He was their Rothschild guy. Now, when the South lost the war and Robert E. Lee signed the terms of surrender, Jefferson, who was a very honorable man, turned himself over to the Northern, army authorities and was put in prison for a while. But Judah Benjamin was not about to turn himself in, the Jew behind the whole thing, and he fled to the Bahamas where a British ship was waiting for him, owned by Rothschild and the Queen. He then went to Great Britain And he became, now get this, the barrister for the royal family. He was the chief counsel, chief lawyer, the barrister for the Queen of England.
And
not only that, he went on to write one of the most famous legal, you know, law textbooks in Great Britain that still is in use today. And it was about the law of property. So he lived out a nice life as a multimillionaire, many times over, lawyer for Rothschild and the Queen of England. He was the Attorney General of the Confederacy and also served as the Secretary of Treasury. And again, I ask people to go and look it up in Wikipedia, even online, the encyclopedia online. Look up Judah P. Benjamin. You'll find that he was a slave owner. He had a slave plantation down in Florida. See, the history, Lila and Leo, is not what people think it is.
Not at all.
No, not at all.
And who would know that a Jewish slave owner who was tied with Rothschild in Great Britain was the Secretary of the Treasury for the South? That's all. Like, you go, what? Why haven't there been books written about this guy, you know?
Well, you have to do a lot of research,
yeah,
like you. I just wanted to, we just have a few more minutes. I just wanted to go back to the rise of China. What
okay.
planned role for the United States? If China is going to be top dog, what is their vision for our place in this new world? Do we have one?
Well, first of all, China has gotten rich because we've been giving it all of our top secrets.
Yeah.
You remember that Bill Clinton just about turned over Los Alamos.
Yeah.
National, you know, laboratory to them, and received all those millions of dollars from Johnny Chung and all of the Communist Party Army agents.
Right.
Back when he was President of the United States. But the main reason Red China is so wealthy is because the oil, all of the oil in Iraq, and Iraq is now one of the, you know, after our conquest of Iraq, we built pipelines going through Israel over to the Mediterranean, through Israel and also through southern Lebanon. And BP Oil Company works with a China oil company, China National Oil Company, and the oil from Iran is being given to Red China. They forced the Iraqi puppets that we placed in power to sign a contract with BP Oil Company, the BP, okay, British Petroleum, and the China National Oil Company, working together, got the rights to almost all the oil of Iraq. They're bringing it out of the ground for $2 a barrel. And they're selling it on the world market. Today, oil sold in the United States for $106 a barrel. It's sold in Europe for $125 a barrel. They bring it out of the ground for $2 a barrel. That's all they're paying Iraq. But remember, Dick Cheney told Americans, you won't have to pay anything for this war. We'll just sell the Iraqi oil. Well, instead, it was all given to Red China with BP using its technology in Halliburton, building the pipelines, and we paid for the pipelines, the American taxpayers.
Who gave it to BP? Who gave this to BP?
Well, there was a fake bidding.
There was a fake bidding. George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. This was all decided before we ever went into Iraq, that Red China would be built up by laundering all the oil through Red China. Now, Red China has two oil companies that 10 years ago were not in the top 100 of oil companies in the world in size. They're now in the top 10, and one of them is the second largest oil company in the world, but all of their oil comes in tankers from Iraq, and then they sell it to the United States and the other countries. They even have built 25 new gasoline refineries in the last decade in Red China. Goldman Sachs is the project manager. Goldman Sachs Bank is the project manager for China. And remember, Lloyd Blankfein, who is the CEO of of Goldman Sachs, he said, I am doing God's work. Well, I think their God is Lucifer, and he is doing God's work, Lucifer's work. And Goldman Sachs bought up the largest warehouse corporation in the world. They're a builder of warehouses, and they have built over 100,000 gigantic warehouses in China. And with the oil money from Iraq, and remember, Iraq now produces more oil than even Saudi Arabia. This is an astonishing thing. And all of that money is going to Red China and has been ever since we won the war. Now, China is becoming a colossus through stolen oil, and Americans died and bled for Red China to become an oil colossus, and now we're forced to buy oil from Red China.
Ridiculous, absolutely.
It's ridiculous. And by the way, I want people to understand what all of this, what's going on. So that when people say, well, Red China bought up a lot of our debt, you know, our treasury bonds.
Right.
Well, you know, they own a lot of the debt that we have. Well, yes, and they did it through Iraqi oil money. This is the scam that's been going on, the shell game with the elite that have made Red China into the world's colossus. It's not because they're so smart and so much smarter than our corporations. Now, the only thing that might save America, and I want your audience to know this, is that ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, and all the other big major oil companies are traitors to America.
Right.
And they're working with the big boys and keeping the price of oil jacked up to sky-high levels. When I call Earth planet petroleum, there's so much oil they don't know what to do with it all. I mean, they can't use it. There's a huge surplus of oil everywhere in the world today. But they're still jacking up the price because Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, another investment bank, they control most of the world's oil futures market. And it's not set by supply and demand. It's set by this crooked oil free futures market. Now, they moved the oil futures market from New York and Chicago to London, England, where they set up Intercontinental Commodities Exchange. And as I told your audience, not only that, but Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange, is merging with the German Stock Exchange.
Yeah, you told that. That was a surprise to me.
So that the Securities and Exchange Commission of the United States cannot control it or police it and tell it what to do. All of these things, in other words, they're moving America, they're moving the New York Stock Exchange to Frankfurt, Germany. They've moved all of our commodities and everything exchanged over to London, England. And the huge banks like Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, all of the others are doing this to us. And they're working with Red China. Goldman Sachs and a Chinese bank called Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, HSBC, are controlling the gold, the oil markets, and the other commodities. And now, what are they? Goldman Sachs actually has built. What's a bank doing building warehouses? Over 100,000 gigantic warehouses in China, and they're filling them up with lumber, tin, iron ore, coal. Much of it is coming from America, and it's coming through Long Beach, through Seattle, and traveling over to China, and they're filling up these warehouses with all these precious commodities. They're buying them with the oil that they've stolen from Iraq. People will get Die America Die. I have all the evidence, all the proof there. You'll even see the Chinese oil workers working at the oil fields and on the pipelines. I have film of it and pictures of it inside Iraq. And then, not only that, in Afghanistan, there are 300,000 Chinese mining workers now. The reason the United States went to Afghanistan and is staying there, and there was this thing with bin Laden is stupid and silly and a big bunch of malarkey. The reason we went there was because they have trillions of dollars of uranium ore, of copper, of aluminum, of tin, and we're giving it to Red China. There are 300,000 mining workers in Afghanistan. American soldiers are there to protect the Red Chinese mining workers. That's why we're there.
God, I thought it was the opium trade.
So our role in the world is to be the policeman for corporations and governments.
That's right. It's just like, you know, way back in the 40s, General Smedley Butler, the Marine Commandant, he wrote a book called War is a Racket.
Yep.
He basically said, I work for the corporations as
yep.
Marine Commandant. Well, it's the banking corporations. Exxon and these others, they get benefits. But believe me, their profits are huge now. But it's the Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanley's, the Bank of America, these gigantic banks. And it's incredible. And, of course, the Federal Reserve is in collusion with them, printing trillions of dollars. And, Leo, you mentioned the heroin, of course, the poppy fields. But all that, a lot of that goes to the Chinese. The Chinese have always been big in heroin and opium. And so there's a huge market in Red China. I think the Chinese, that's one of the things that they import from Afghanistan, along with all of the mining workers doing all the mining. In my video, Die America Die, you will actually see one of the largest, could be the largest, copper mines in the world.
Wow.
And they've actually gone in and built, if you look at it, it looks like a concentration camp. There's dormitories after dormitory buildings. It looks like army camps or concentration camps. It's Chinese mining workers having a place to live.
Right. No, you're right.
It's amazing. And can you imagine our soldiers are dying in Afghanistan so that China can have all these natural resources?
It's absolutely disgusting. Tex, you know, I've got about a minute left on the air on streaming, but I'm humbled to ask you again, but I would love to have you on one more hour just to finalize this thing and to make it a 4-part series. But is there any chance you're available next Wednesday?
Yes, there sure is. I'd love to come on again.
One more.
And I really would like to offer some solutions to Americans
because I
think if we can overcome the elite. Right now, and if the American people will find out what's happening, I think we can turn the tables on these monsters. And if we can get on top of this, I believe Americans will be shocked. Right now, I'm going to make a statement that's going to be amazing. Every American native-born citizen is a millionaire and doesn't know it.
Right. You said that.
We have so many resources, from coal to aluminum to copper, but especially oil. We are like a ship floating on an ocean of oil. It's here, right here in America, and the little oil companies have gone out and found it. And did you know something? This year, 2011, just passed, we exported, in other words, sold more oil from America than we bought from the Middle East.
That just totally amazed me.
I was surprised when I read that figure. I was really shocked. I had no idea.
Yeah.
But it's the little oil companies, entrepreneurs that have done it, and I believe right now many of them are being shut down. The environmentalists are, under Obama are going after them because they do not want America to be the world's major oil power. They want Red China, and they want Americans to buy the oil from Red China.
Yeah, and pumping the oil from America. Which is so sick. I mean, this whole thing is just
twisted.
It's all so twisted.
Next week, hopefully, we'll have some solutions so we can avoid this fate that is planned for us.
Absolutely. Americans are millionaires. We are million. I'm telling you the truth. The public lands alone in America have more oil than all the rest of the world combined, and we have reserves that will last us thousands of years, and we can be, just on the royalties alone, Americans are rich.
Oh, God.
Every American. Social Security, we could triple it. We could build new schools, highways across America. We are an oil colossus, But we must not let these evil men, these tyrannical dictators, promote red China over us.
You know, Alex Jones had a remarkable documentary he did about the biospheres. He did this back I don't know how many years ago, quite a few years ago. But when he talked about the biospheres and how Clinton signed over all of our national parks and everything, and federal lands to the UN, all right? And,
that we don't really own a lot
that,
of it.
And I don't know whether he signed them over as collateral for our debt or if he just signed them over, okay, as international land. But it was a frightening documentary, and I always respected him for doing that. That was quite a number of years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, when he did that show. But do we own any of our national parks anymore, or are they held by the UN?
No, we do own them, but we've gone into international treaties and agreements. In which we, you know, sort of, in a sense, have turned them over to administration by United Nations International Authority under this biosphere thing.
Right.
So they become like heritage treasures for the whole world rather than Americans. I think that's pretty sick.
Yeah, and Clinton, during his final days. Wrote hundreds and hundreds signed away tremendous number of environmental acts and did this these things and nobody knows to this day exactly how much
he gave away
or what he did in those last days but
we still own incredible if you looked at a map of the United States you would be amazed if they colored in all the land owned publicly by states, localities, and the national government. I believe more than half the land of the United States is owned by the citizens.
Wow.
And some of those areas are where the most of the oil is underground. And another resource, which is natural gas, which very few people understand the difference between natural gas and oil. But America is, I mean, the natural gas we have is incredible. But they are beginning to build refineries in America now for the first time that will liquefy the natural gas. And we have more natural gas than we have oil even. But
wow.
These are all incredible stories. But I think there's two things that make America especially rich. And our future is very, very bright if we can get on top of the evil traitors in our midst. One of them is our technology. Americans are brilliant people, you know, from Stephen Jobs to Michael Dell to the little people of America. We are the idea people, the innovators. You know, we have everything from Facebook to Twitter and the iPhone and all those things.
Yeah.
And these are incredible treasures we have in technology. Silicon Valley, and of course, here in Austin, the technological thing, you know, this is like a second Silicon Valley. And even in New York State, there's a lot of things going on up in New England. We have that, and then the oil. God blessed us with all of these natural resources, but particularly oil. But I want people to understand, the rich oil companies, when they take oil from Alaska, it comes down, it's brought by pipe. You know, Sarah Palin was one of their tools. She's just a mouthpiece for them, believe it or not. Sarah Palin gave Canada the pipeline contract. Trans-Canada Pipeline was who Alaska, under Governor Palin, gave the contract to bring oil down to the ocean there. And the Alaskan oil all goes to Japan and China.
Yeah, I knew that.
If they open up ANWR, which they should do, there's more oil there than you know, probably in Saudi Arabia, in this little bitty area of northern Alaska. But if they open it up, they would give all the oil to the foreign people and not to us. And by the way, the Keystone Pipeline,
yeah,
Have you ever wondered why the plan is to bring the pipeline from Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico? That's so they could put it in tankers and take it to China.
That's right, and it's all dirt. It's all dirty oil. It's not
from
even,
that fracking. It's from that sand or something.
It's from the sand, tar sand.
Tar sand.
Stuff,
yeah.
You know? It's like
yes, but see that's not oil for America. When they say we need to solve our oil problem by building the pipeline, they're building the pipeline to take the oil to China. And one of the things that the American oil that they don't know about is
absolutely.
It is. It is bull. The American oil companies, by the way, these little ones that are doing most of the drilling now in America, they're being forced to sell their oil to Red China for $70 a barrel.
Yeah, we got to stop that.
They could sell it in the world market for $106 or
$125. Yeah.
Well,
Tex,
We'll be talking next week.
I'm so grateful that you're going to be on. You'll be on next week with us again for a whole hour.
And what people can do and how we can fight this demonic plan.
Yeah, how we can fight this.
And I'd really like to focus on that in a way to give people hope for the future.
Yeah.
And what we can, and not to feel helpless, and some things that you think maybe we can do. And we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to putting on my calendar right now.
Okay.
And thank you so much for your courage to have me on.
Oh, thank you.
You know, there are a lot of people that are afraid of these topics.
Let's do it at 8:05 tomorrow.
8:05.
So we'll spend the whole hour with you, and we'll try to wind
it up. And we'll try to wind it up.
That'll be perfect.
End this thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thanks very much, and good night.
Good night, Tex.
Well, thank you, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Good night.
That was Tex Morris from his home in Texas. And next week, we're lucky enough to have him on again.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll be able to throw some light on the future.
Yeah. So good night, everybody. And join us tomorrow right here at 8:00.
Good night, folks.